This is 102.3 WHIVLP New Orleans, the voice of the city.
Hey, this is one more jazz from the Tempest. Your
blues away. Forget all your troubles away. Hop on your bike anytime you like and pedal your blues away. Down the old highway, singing a song as you roll along, just pedaling your blues away. You'll find lots of happiness as you spin along. Things are hunky-dory as you glide. In the middle of your heart you'll find a new song with your palsy-walsy ride by your side. Get all your blues away. You'll find love in every byway. Hold your chin, let them see your grin, and get all your blues away.
Night, everybody. My name is Janneke Fietsen-Kannegwel, and you're listening to Outspoken, a show about all aspects of cycling here on WHIV. WHIV-LP is community radio with programming dedicated to human rights, social justice, and public health. Check us out online at WHIVFM.org that's exactly it. I am so excited that I have my sister and my cousin in the studio. My sister alive and well here. Renate, welcome.
Hello.
All the way from the Netherlands. Maybe move that mic over a little bit. There you go.
Okay.
And then I also have on the speaker on the phone all the way from Canada, my cousin Chris. So it's a little family reunion. Welcome, Chris.
Hey. Yeah, good to be here.
It's been a minute. Renate came on the radio 2015. That was my first year, long time ago. Renate, we took the bike out a little bit today. Do you think things have changed quite a bit in New Orleans?
I think not. I'm sorry.
Like not too many cyclists out there today?
I did not see a little many cyclists today.
Right. Well, they were probably all at work. You know, we are riding, of course, on a Tuesday, and we went outside of the rush hour traffic. And New Orleans is a town where a lot of people are cycling. A lot of people are cycling, like social rides, and that happened a lot on the weekends. And then, of course, like the commuting is maybe not happening when we see them. So hopefully you're going to stay in New Orleans for 2 weeks. Let's see what your opinion is next week about your cycling experiences here. But today we went with the tandem. Chris, did I take you on the tandem?
Yes, you did. That was a bit of a learning curve for me. Very different feeling.
Like, how so?
I guess because you're in the back and you think you have no control. You're just pedaling. But it was just a very different, because normally you've got the handlebars and, you know, you have a feeling that you're going to be turning left and how your body kind of goes with that. It's different on the back and not having that same feeling. You do get used to it, but the very beginning, I was a little jittery.
Right, so what can you do? Because in Alaska, you had that same experience.
Yeah.
Were you kind of saying like, oh, I'm trying to counter steer. Like, what do you think we can do? Both of you guys, if you have an answer, what can you do to get somebody adjusted to that, like, so that you maybe can give them the heads up, you know?
It's just like sitting on a motorbike, on the back of a motorbike. You have also no control of what the person in front of you are doing.
Right. So what can you do? Like, I figured because you were a cyclist,
yeah,
that maybe that was not such a difficult thing, and maybe I didn't, you know, expect that I needed to give you any clues, really.
I think it's better to go with the flow. When you're going to the left, you go to the left also, not to go on to the right, but then you... balance is gone.
Right. So what about you, Chris? What do you think you could do to let other people know, you know, what to expect, so that maybe riding that bike? Because I even, like, asked Anasa, like, well, do you want to sit in the front? And she's like, no, let me not even try that.
Maybe another time.
So there's always tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow.
I didn't try it in the front, but I wonder if you would just have the same but different. I mean, yes, you would have the control. You have a little bit more vision of where you're going, and you're the one making the decision. But then you'd have that kind of the wiggling going on in the back. Kind of like when you're in a canoe, you have the same kind of thing, right? You just you have a sensation of movement, but you don't see it, and that's not always very comforting either. So I don't know if it would be easier in the front or the back. But the back, I find, because you don't have a really good vision.
Right.
You've got that person sitting right in front of you. That's just the nature of it. You can't change that.
Well, I mean, from that point of view, I do like those tandem bicycles where the pilot, the one that's in control of the bike, is sitting in the back, and where the front person is more like reclined so that both of you have a good view.
I've not seen those.
Yeah, it's more like a cargo bike style tandem bike, and the person in the front is, you know, much lower and still kind of biking. I mean, I could see that would be comfortable, because maybe, you know, kind of sitting in that chair position. And then I think, like, my tandem is like cruiser style. But some of these tandem bikes where you are, if you are like a road racing, you know, you are definitely looking at nothing but the shoes of the person in front of you,
mm-hmm,
and smelling the sweat of their back. I'm not really sure about that. So, okay, so the next time you come, you can take the front. Well, the thing is, like, in New Orleans, what I like about taking my guest on the tandem is because then I don't have to worry that if we're talking, or you may be as a guest looking at the houses, that you're not, you know, I don't have to worry about you're not seeing the pothole, or
it's
will you see the pothole?
Easier. Yeah.
It's more sightseeing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I had the time to sightseeing on the back.
Right. Yeah. You can even take video and stuff.
You don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah, so, well, the reason why I was saying that is because I was telling my friend David, I write with him with the blind people, and I was telling him that my sister was coming, and he was like, oh, she knows how to ride a bicycle? I'm like, yeah, she knows. I mean, she's in the Netherlands. And he was like, oh, we should take the tandems out, and I can call some of my friends, and maybe we can, you know, she can ride one of the tandems in the front, too. And so I was a little bit surprised how hesitant maybe you were as a cyclist. Yeah. You know, do I keep Dutch people as a higher standard? Maybe. What about you, Chris? Do you hold Dutch people to a higher standard regarding cycling?
Oh, I think so. I think it is. You need some serious skills to cycle in the Netherlands in the way of you have to have your senses on high alert. You have to be paying attention to other cyclists, to the motor cars, to the pedestrians, and you have to really know the rules of the road too, because otherwise you can get into some serious injury, or you're going to get the wrath of the other bikers on your head.
Exactly. And I do think, though, Renata and I were talking about that earlier, you know, how the landscape of cyclists is changing with people having like electric bikes, and then what, you know, how do you plan for that? And what is the attitude of people cycling? Like, is that changing? The more the technology is changing, do people attitudes change towards one another when they have a bicycle where they don't have to make an effort anymore?
Yep.
Well, I wonder if cyclists have the same kind of change around them in behavior as people that are driving motor vehicles. I don't know, in this area for sure, it's a lot more aggression, a lot more impatience. People are honking. If you're like a second late at the light, you know, they're honking, get moving. And I wonder if that is just people's character coming out, and whether you see that when they're driving a car or whether you see them when they're biking, that those kinds of characters come out.
Right. And so in the United States, it kind of says, you know, the driver's license comes with this, you know, like if you have a driver's license, it should be somewhat of a promise of you to be respectful for the other users in traffic. And I see a lot of instances where road rage is getting the better of people, and like what you're saying, they have no more patience. And I then want to remind people, like, if you cannot participate in traffic without, you know, giving the other people the time of day, then should you really be in a place where you can take the responsibility of having this huge machine under your behind that you're then going around the city with?
Yeah, you're looking at your driver's license as a privilege, and I think most people would look at it as a right.
Right. I mean, that's correct. It's a privilege.
No. Yeah.
Yes.
And I think when you have that different mindset that it is your right, then that puts you in a totally different space in your head, and even like a priority on the road. If it's my right, then everybody has to, you know, bow to that right.
Right. So,
if that makes sense.
So if you then not need a driver's license for a bicycle, and you see that change in behavior with people having a certain bikes, like Renata, you were naming like the fat bikes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about fat bike, Chris?
Yeah, with the really wide tires that you can go on, yes, like and beaches and snow. Yeah.
And the seat is like almost like a motorcycle mm-hmm. seat, and people are sitting. You can't really make it high, so people are sitting with their knees kind of into their ears. So that's why I'm like, why is it then you see that same or similar attitude change with that? With that particular bike.
It's not about you're right. It's just people's attitude about themselves versus the people around them that they see themselves as the priority and everybody else. Whether you have a license or not, does it really matter? I'm the most important thing on the earth, and everybody just better kind of acknowledge that.
Right. And I don't know, maybe those people need to get humble pie and you know, learn that, you know, they're only just one little wheel in the big machine or something.
Even for like patients, like if you think, I think almost every day I come up to an intersection and somebody, you know, has been honking, you know, not necessarily at me, but I hear people honking because you took too long. You think it is not even a millisecond that you're waiting.
Right.
And you think, is that really going to make a big impact in your life? And how many times people get upset about delays or whatever? You think on the scheme of things, it's not that big. Just chillax and take it easy.
Right. And like then you even wonder if people getting that freaked out about those seconds with driving, and you know, I kind of think about that, like, you know, the speed limit is 60, right? Most of the time the minimum speed is 45 on the interstate. When people don't go 60, you're like, well, why are you going so slow? Well, but you're not going to go slow. You might only go 50. You're allowed to go 50 on the interstate, you know. You're right, like expectations are changing, and it looks like it's only the one way that seems to be the correct way. Let's chillax. Maybe we need to cycle more to have a better mindset. You know, I guess we only know this in retrospect, you know, just saying like, oh, in hindsight, yes. I mean, my thought is that everybody that is a cyclist, when they are driving a car, will they become better? But I mean, I know myself, you know, at times I'm driving and you get in your task, you know, you do your things, you have this, you know, movements that are all, you know, are taken over by muscle memory, and you go places and, you know, you might kind of lose your thought and think like, oh my God, what did I just do? So.
How did I get here?
Pardon?
Or how did I get here?
Yes, how did I get there?
In autopilot.
One day I was riding my car and I was leaving work. And most of the time I am leaving that place of work by bicycle because I ride my bike to work there. But this time, maybe it was like a bad storm or something, and I took my car, and I was so much not thinking that I ended up pulling my car up on the curb, stopping by the door like I was my bicycle, and I was going to go into my bicycle into my house. And then I'm like, oh, yes, this is bad, you know? I know. If you're listening, you started tuning in, this is Outspoken, a show about all aspects of cycling. We here on WHOV are supported in part by Offbeat Magazine at offbeat.com. I have my sister in the studio and got my cousin on the phone, but I'm going to take a hot second to share with you the band beat for tonight. So hang in tight, Chris. While I share this with everybody. If you head out now, since it's about 20 minutes after 7, and today is January 20th, If you head out now, you can catch Mark Broad, Colossus Brass Band record release happening at the Snock Harbor Jazz Bistro. They start at 7:30. Then at 7:30 at Kanoa is Some Nod to Me. Fritzl's Arsenal Band with Jamil Sharif are taking the stage at 8 o'clock at the Fritzl's European Jazz Club, while Leroy Joins and the home team will be at the Mahogany Jazz Hall, also at 8. At 8 o'clock at the Bayou Bar at the Pontchartrain Hotel, we have the OGs featuring Peter Harris, Tony DeGrady, David Turkanowski, and Pedro Segundo. Then 9:30, Snock Harbor Jazz Bistro is going to continue with Mark Broad's Colossus Brass Band record release, while Lil Prince and the Youngbloods will be at Vaughn's Lounge at 10. And then at 10, at the Bayou Bar at the Pontchartrain Hotel, the OGs are going to continue taking the stage. And that was your band beat for tonight. More video information, including content, original videos, and photos can be found at offbeat.com. And I was thinking I'm going to play a little bit music for you guys because I can. As you know, I love some of my bicycle songs. And if you haven't picked up on that yet, then maybe more listening would be in order. But since I have my cousin and my sister, I'm going to try and find one of the many Dutch songs that are out here. So I'm going to try to pull one up. I saw it the other day, and I don't play it too often. Here we go. Iris Kroes, y'all. So I'll be right back with some more outspoken. Stay tuned.
Ziet me niet.
That was Iris Kroes met Bijna Met Jou. My name is Janneke Fiets in Kanigwel. I got my cousin and my sister. They also know how to fiets, so that's great. Fietsen kan ik ook, right? You know, I was hoping to get more butts on bikes. Things are changing in the world of biking. Lots more electric bikes. I was talking last week, you know, about when do we bike, and maybe it would be good to, you know, it would be exciting to have an electric bike, have some more opportunity, you know, but how are the attitudes changing? We made some good points just now, but maybe the attitudes of people shifting, where instead of everybody else, everybody is the priority, and it's a system that it seems to be, it's only one person and everybody for themselves. Chris, you were interested to finding out how in the Netherlands they have been integrating this faster mode of cycling. Well, initially you have all your bike paths kind of set up for the traditional bike.
Absolutely.
That's right. Because, yeah. I mean, right now, we're kind of in a transition mode, trying to kind of get more people on the bike. And, I mean, we have our challenges here because of just the space between the towns and cities. We have the challenge of just the geography, lots of hills and stuff like that, but also the challenge of weather. And I'm so surprised at how many more bikers there are, even in the winter, that are people are using it as a mode of transportation. It's not so much that it's like recreation at that point, but they have to get from A to B. And I think because people are just so stretched financially that they can't afford a car, can't afford the fuel, can't afford the license, all that, that people are going on their bikes. But where do these bikes go? And you think about, like, our roads in the wintertime, there's snow, it gets plowed, but the snow does take up space on the sides of the road. So, you know, it was already kind of tight if you didn't have bike lanes and the bikes are kind of same space as the vehicles. Now there's less space and you've got this slush and this buildup on the side. It's challenging.
I hear that it's challenging, but if you think about that, most people drive too fast as it is, right? So no snow, everybody's going to go fast. You have more crashes because people are going to go fast. And then traffic is stuck because you have a pileup somewhere. So if traffic is slowing down because of the snow and now the roads being smaller because of the piled up snow on the side of the road, and now the cyclist being in the mix of all of that, would then it not mean that the traffic calming that has happened because of that circumstance causes for people to be more cautious, and thus you have less crashes and less people sitting in traffic jams, and you still go where you need to be?
Yeah, you would think that that would be the scenario, but I don't know. I mean, and I don't have statistics on you know, accidents between bikes and cars because of road conditions in the wintertime, but we were talking earlier about people's lack of patience, and they just want to get there fast. So now they're being slowed down by road conditions because of the snow, and then you've got some guy trying to navigate his way through a snowbank with his bike.
Right.
And now you're going to have to go around him. Now you're really slowing me down, and people are taking risks that they shouldn't be, and making moves that are not safe.
Right.
So I don't think it makes it safer. I just think people are doing riskier moves to kind of get around it all.
Right. So are you suggesting that some of the roads are becoming like a one-way for cars to accommodate still the other modes of traffic. I mean, I see that here where when it's super raining and people are parking their car on the sidewalk, right? Because your car might otherwise get flooded. But then they are blocking some of the multi-paths, causing the cyclists having to ride in the road where you won't expect them, even on a good day. And so now when it's bad weather, you're not expecting them and you can see them, but they will be there. You know, it's a scary, I don't want to ride. I can have all the lights on my bike. I don't want to ride where people are not going to expect to encounter a bicyclist, you know? And so I do think that with the modes of transit, and that's what they're saying, like when we're talking about complete streets, that we haven't, you know, some plans adopted, where the idea is that complete streets are where you keep in mind all uses for the roads, and that includes like water runoff and, you know, traffic calming measures and shade and quality of air. And I do appreciate that they're going to keep that in mind. But it's true, like every time when you think about a road, you're not really thinking about that from, oh, this is, you know, how we're going to use this in wintertime. Probably in Canada, but here, you know, here we got a lot of water. We should be thinking about that, but I don't think anybody's thinking about that.
And we do have a lot of multi-use lanes too, and that was kind of like where I was going with that question about what do you do with bikes, pedestrians, and now you're putting in, you know, motorized vehicles in there. So they're talking about here trying to figure it out, kind of going, okay, well, how fast could like that e-bike go, or the scooter or whatever like that? Then if it goes 40 kilometers an hour, then it's not allowed on the bike lane anymore. Then it has to be on the road because it's considered a motor vehicle, right? Yeah.
And that's what they did in the Netherlands.
That's an issue in the Netherlands, the speed of the cyclist with the electric bikes and the fat bikes. So they are...
What are you saying? What are you trying to say?
The regering daarmee bezig is.
Oh, yes, like political, it's a political theme to kind of talk about what regulations need to be pushed in, because the electric bikes used to be on the bike lane in the past because they were still considered cyclists, but they've been thinking about what classification of bikes is really not a bicycle anymore, and they need to be more seen like somebody that needs to be more sharing the road where cars are driving. But the thing is like, yeah, from a speed point of view, it's compatible, but from a crashing point of view, you are still going to be the sorrow person when you are going to get hit. When you're sitting on a fat bike, an electric bike, if you're going to get hit by a car.
And there are, in the Netherlands, a lot of crashes with bikes.
Yeah, I hear those numbers are going up. Like, for years and years, you know, the Netherlands, I think. And it looks like not just the crashes are up because you have more people having difficulty managing that bicycle itself. You also have problems with people looking at a cyclist coming towards you and then not realizing how fast they're going.
That's also a problem.
Yeah.
And in wintertime, all the kids are saying, we're going on the fat bikes, but it's safer on a fat bike in the snow than with a normal bike.
Oh, because you got the fat tires?
Yeah, yes.
I saw a bunch of videos. So they had like terrible weather in the Netherlands last week, and I saw so many clips of cyclists where they're like on their seat, but they're not pedaling because they have their feet on both sides to kind of become more like a pyramid, and just falling in place. And I don't know how many people ended up with hip fractures.
I don't have a car, so I have to go with a bike to my work.
Oh, I did not know.
Yeah. My car standing still more often than I should want, but so I decided to go do the car away.
Yes, very smart.
Yeah. But the 2 days the snow was very, very hard, so a lot of snowing, and so I decided to walk to my work.
Yes, yeah. Very, very smart, probably. Yes, I do really think. Going back to some of the crashes that you're talking mm-hmm. about, right? Like, I know that when people are aging, your depth perception is maybe going to be down as it is. And then so many people with like cataract surgery are having their eyes with new lenses, where one lens is to see close and one lens to see maybe far, and then they even have more problems with depth perception. And so maybe, you know, like in the Netherlands, when you have the light change, these cyclists are going to go everywhere, right? Where we know from a driving point of view is that the problem is that left turn that's unprotected because you don't have you have more problems anticipating the other speed. So maybe you're going to have more traffic situations in the long run where people can only make right turns, right turns and bridges
today,
so that we never ever have to cross, you know, each other anymore. And that is kind of the idea. But then people are going to say like, oh, I don't want to only go right turns and over bridges and underpasses to be able to get my destination. I want to do what I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know, Chris. Are you going to get an electric bike this year, Chris?
No. Maybe if I had to rely on my bike to, for transportation. But I ride my bike for recreation and for fitness, and the e-bike just doesn't fit that bill.
Right, maybe not now, but I could see. I'm not wishing you any horrible things, but. You know, I could see that for people that have maybe like a lung issue where the endurance is an issue, they're not really getting a lot of exercise, where an electric bike might actually be where you can get your heart rate up without the effort on a regular bike and all that stuff. So I think from a lot of, you know, points, there's probably pluses and minuses about getting an electric bike. What I did see, what they did, I think this was after Hurricane Sandy, where in New York they realized that some of your emergency response team was so much easier for them to get to the places that they needed to go with putting tools in like a cargo bike and going around all these down trees and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they could clear the roads much faster than, you know, because you can start on any point versus you have to first clean this one and before you can get more helpers in, you know. So from that point of view, I would like to see some of these agencies to say like, you know what, this is what we're going to do. We're going to utilize some of these cargo bikes. So let's just see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get some delivery and stuff like that. All right. Well, as promised, I'm going to play some more Dutch music and more bike music. Here is Spinvis with their song Bagage Dragen. You're listening to Outspoken, my show on here on WHIV LP New Orleans. We are community radio with programming dedicated to human rights and social justice. I'm hoping to get more butts on bikes, and that's why I am talking about bikes every Tuesday with you. So thank you so much for tuning in. Here is Spinvis, y'all, and we'll be right back with Chris and Renata. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
luistert naar de wolken, als je luistert naar de wind. Je agenda en je zonnebril, wat doen die hier nou? Maar je ligt weer in je eigen bed, in je eigen lot, en opeens staat alles stil.
Aspect of cycling here in WHIV. My name is Janneke Fietsen Gunningwell, and I'm excited to have family in the studio and on the phone. Renate and Chris are here with me chatting about cycling. So I was talking about the tandem bike a little bit earlier. Today I got a call in. I have this app on my phone, and I get a lot of these calls from people with vision issues, and most of the time, I don't know why, but most of the time it's Belgium people that I get connected to, and I think because of the time difference, when they need somebody, I'm awake. So I was chatting with this blind fellow in Belgium, and he was trying to figure stuff out with the 3D printer, and I was talking with him for a long time, and it was difficult. Anyway, we get to talking a little bit besides this problem that he's having. And he was saying that he has an electric tandem, but he can fold it and take it apart and put it on the back of the bicycle, but also very expensive. And so I guess, you know, anytime you have a bicycle that is not standard, you're going to be paying for it, right? But then if you know, the benefit of a bicycle, you know, like at one point do you say, oh, this is very pricey, and at one point you say, like, no, I really want that benefit of that bike. So Chris, you were mentioning a friend of yours with a special adaptive bicycle that you heard about, and then when you guys chatted about it, Renate, you were saying, oh, I used one of those. So share a little bit, y'all, about what bicycle you're talking about. Renata, Chris?
Okay. You go first about it.
It's a bike, and in front of the bike, the two wheels, and between the two wheels, there's a space for a person in a wheelchair. So the person in a wheelchair can also go bicycle.
So you're still using the wheels of the wheelchair, or they're no. on the frame of the bicycle? They're not
plateau. The wheelchair is on a plateau.
Okay. And this is the same thing you're talking about, Chris?
I think so. I've not seen it. She just described it to me. And I kind of thought at first it was their own wheelchair, but it looks to me that it's a in-place, I just sent you a picture of it, in-place wheelchair that they have to transfer them into.
Right. But you also, I've also now seen this technology where you have a wheelchair and you clip something onto your wheelchair, and then your wheelchair, it lifts kind of your front legs up, and it becomes where you kind of become like a tricycle and go much faster.
And you have to, normally you go forward with your
With your legs?
Yeah, legs. And now you have to use your arms to move.
No, like even you have the electric ones where you can slip something on and it becomes like an electric scooter where your wheelchair, you just kind of like tilt it back a little bit.
This.
But you don't have to, you do have the hand bikes, but you now have also technology. Oh. Because I would say if you're a wheelchair user and you need to use your hands all the time already to move your wheelchair, your manual wheelchair, if you then start like cycling and you're doing all that stuff with your arms, you know, I mean, unless you're training for that, I would be worried that you're going to have shoulder problems and you're going to be needing your shoulders and your arms quite a bit compared to maybe some other body parts.
I saw in the train. Sometimes I go in the train and I have a bicycle I can fold up. But then I saw a young boy, a puber.
Like a teenager?
A teenager. Thank you. And he has also a wheelchair and then clicks something in front of him. And he using his arms to move forward.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I could see being a young person then that you may be not worried about it. But maybe I'm too much of a therapist where I'm like, oh, I see what you're doing. But I don't know how much, you know, that would be smart. So lots of different adaptive cyclists. I know here in New Orleans area, I think you have some therapist working with kids on adaptive cyclists on the North Shore. That will be an area would I'd like to have more knowledge about. So if you know anybody that's riding any specialty bike here in town and you want to connect me to that person to share about it, that would be great. Because I know I ride with the blind folks and it's very much appreciated. And I think that for everybody, no matter what kind of status you are, right? Like feeling the wind in your face, that sense of freedom that you have sitting in the bike versus traveling by car, for instance, is such a different point of view.
Mm-hmm. Absolute.
Chris?
Yeah, and I mean, for those that are challenged in their mobility, this is putting you in a place where you're kind of on par with other cyclists, right? Otherwise, you're in a wheelchair, you know, getting pushed down the sidewalk. That is totally different than this contraption where you're attached to a bike or another cyclist in the back. You become a cyclist
You're kind of saying like you're going to be seen as a cyclist, not somebody with a disability.
Yeah, like you're on the same level. Literally, you're on the same level as cyclists, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I just think that's so cool, that kind of sense of a little bit of independence still, and this kind of like, I'm sure how many seniors are out there that, you know, would be, have been biking when they were younger and would really just kind of miss that feeling.
Right.
I think it just kind of gives them a whole new sense of freedom.
Right. Yes. I mean, I think it's fabulous. And I know in the United States, you can, like, if you are in need of a device for mobility, I think your insurance will pay, like, a new device, I think, every 5 years, which you think, like, oh, that's pretty fast. But if you use it every day, 5 years is nothing.
Yeah.
You know, then it's going to be broken. And the thing is then, if you're stuck and saying, like, oh, I need a wheelchair, and after 5 years, I need to get a new wheelchair, it would be fabulous if the insurance would say, you know, instead of a wheelchair, you know, would we get you on, you know, something like this that you can also use more independent or on this different level? You know, like with the wheelchair, I feel you're still so limited where it's a chair on wheels. You're going to go, you know, from one place to another place, but not necessarily use it as transport to really go out and about, you know? And, like, I know some of the walking bikes where it's not really, it's not a something to replace as biking, but it's more a device that is used for you to compensate for your walking. So it has two little small wheels on the front, and I think it has one wheel on the back, and you just kind of walk onto it, and you sit on it, but you're on the same level as other people. And since it's an assistive device, you can even use it inside. So I will see people in the hospital that are using these walking bikes where a regular bicycle, you know, if you're lucky, like I was talking with a lady last week, she was in the show and she was like, oh yeah, I'm just going to bring my bike into the elevator. I'm going to bring it to my office. I'm going to store it there all day long when I'm working, right? But most of the time, if you're going to go places, can you imagine that I'm riding with my bicycle in the hospital just because I can't? I mean, sometimes I forget my lock and I will have to park my bicycle in the hospital. And then at the end of the day, when shipping and handling is closed, I am taking my bicycle through the hospital. And then it's like, oh, I'm so sorry, you guys. But and nobody says anything. But in general, you would think like that would be a little bit frowned upon. So that would be cool to learn a little bit more. I'm hoping that I will never really need to have to look for myself into adaptive cycling. But I am really glad that the technology is out there and that people are wanting to spend their brains on developing these items. Because the more people you have them that are using them, they will be cheaper, you know? Like a phone can take pictures and can do all the stuff. And sometimes a simple thing that can only do one thing, like cycling, but it's adaptive, then it becomes so expensive. And it would be nice if the prices of those things would get down a little bit.
Yeah.
So the, in the Netherlands, and NASA, do you see those where you have people are maybe wheelchair users are getting these little bit, they almost look like tiny cars, not like smart cars, but and they don't go really fast. They are maybe more of the speed as a fast bicycle, but they look like mini cars. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
Like, do you feel that they, I kind of hear that they're made for people with disabilities, but now they're being utilized by, like, students and
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, this one person in our village where I live, he has problems with his with his head, so he cannot drive a car. So
right, with the hands, a problem with the hands?
No, with the head.
Oh, like cognitively speaking?
Yeah. And so, but he has to go much farther away than he can do it on a bike. So he buys some car, mini car.
Right. And like insurance, would they cover that in the Netherlands?
I think they do.
See, that's what I really appreciate, that you do see the way of transportation, of saying like, hey, how can we get you independent versus putting everybody just in a transportation bus where you have to request access to get to a location like 24 hours in advance or like the week in advance. But that's maybe a conversation for an old other day. Listen, y'all, it's 8:05. Pearl just came into the studio. The Blues Crusade is coming up at 8:00 here on Outspoken. We are community radio with programming dedicated to human rights and social justice. My show is all about aspect of cycling. I'm super glad that my sister and my cousin were willing to talk with me. Renata, I'm hoping you're coming back and share next some week. More experience. You get a whole week, practice more English. It's going to be fabulous. So I'm going to play some more music and then call it a day. Chris, any parting thoughts for us?
No, it was great. I'm always surprised at how fast the hour goes together.
Oh, I know, right? Well, listen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play some more Dutch music. And we will just be amused about the time warp that's happening here in the studios of WHIV. And I will be back next week with more cycling, y'all. Thank you guys so much for this conversation.
Yeah, lots of fun. Thanks, Janneke.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Renata.
Good night, y'all. Good night, everybody.
You.
And here we get Clouseau with Feet. Good night.
Zij rijdt met de brommer en ik rijd met de fiets. Wat een zorg en kommer, zij heeft alles en ik niets. Had ik maar een brommer en had zij een fiets, dan zou ik haar kunnen duwen, maar nu. Fietsen de grun. Yo, fiets, yo, fiets, yo, fiets, yo, fiets, yo, fiets, yo, fiets. Je laat het niet meer vragen, maar ik rien uit hard genoeg. Yo, fiets, yo, fiets, yo, fiets, yo, fiets, yo, fiets, yo, fiets. Oh, waar ik ben op rien, zie op de avond weer terug. Want zo'n middag in de fiets, net de rap. Ik heb zo'n record, mijn oogel, dus ook in van alles op. Wat droge stoelen en wat covid, ik in de pret begun. Al fietsen de grun. PTT schoot ik 30 jongen mee kruis. En bij mijn jubileum mag ik de rest aan weer roet. En aan mijn olle collega's kom ik zondag nou weer tegen. Waar neemt fietsen en de grun, de vrouw die druk te racen. Samen weer tot gaan ze niet, en van wit zo'n tonaar spiek.
That's it. Leave it there.
Leave it there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect?
Yeah.
Great.
Gotta be the Blues Crusade with Pearl. Right there on WHIV 102.3 FM New Orleans. You never know what you might be playing. He's so cool.
Yeah.